Going to jump around a lot, but the main text, or the biggest text, I'd say we're going to go through is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. So you can turn there, and we'll kind of get there in the first part of the study. But we're going to jump around a lot, and I'll give you certain verses that you don't have to turn your Bibles to, but you can turn to that scripture if you have your Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. Right. Looks like you guys are getting there. We're excited. How many of you guys voted? I voted. How many of you guys are happy with the vote? You're like, it's one of those things that's like, I don't know, should I raise my hand? Should I not? I don't know. You're like, I'm not really happy, but I don't want to say that I'm not happy either. It's one of those touchy subjects. Anyway, obedience. I put obedience in one little short sentence for us to kind of understand, and it's obedience is my response to God's grace. Obedience is my response to God's grace. It's been said, I believe by Warren Wiersbe, that the first duty of every soul is to find not its freedom, but its master. Not its freedom, but its master. So our master whom we find is Jesus. That's why we gather here tonight. We have the same master of Jesus. We may not have the president we want, but we do all have the savior we want. We all have the master whom we want. I wanted to start out with kind of a story. There was a story of King Edward VI. He was the king of England in the 16th century. And when he attended a worship service, he actually went to service. That's pretty cool, pretty unique. When the word of God was read, he would stand. He would stand, he would listen, he would really even participate and kind of say things back as the preacher would teach. And he was really working hard to try to put into practice the things that were going on. It was even said that through the week, he earnestly tried to apply the precepts that the preacher preached in his life. It was kind of that he had a serious understanding that he needed to apply God's word to his life. He even said this. He said, "A single revealed fact cherished in the heart and acted upon is more vital to our growth than a head filled with lofty ideas about God. One step forward in obedience is worth years of study about it." And we don't have years, but I could probably preach for years, but we're not going to do that tonight. We've got about 30 minutes to really look at this understanding of obedience. But let's really glean from King Edward's example of how he really came to God's word, really came at it, not with an understanding of wanting to understand or wanting to know, but with an understanding that he wanted to obey and apply the precepts of God's word in his life. And with that, let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. And Lord, we're thankful that you've brought us to this place. We're thankful, Lord, that we've made it to the 11th week of this study. Lord, we looked at 12 weeks and we were scared and intimidated, and it seems like a long time. And Lord, you have, in your sovereignty, brought us here, and you've allowed us to be disciplined to be able to come here every Thursday night, Lord. So I just thank you that we've had this opportunity, Lord. And I pray that it would be an opportunity that doesn't end here, that we continue coming to abide, we continue to come to Bible studies wherever you call us, Lord. And even as we look at obedience tonight, that we'd be obedient to just that calling of coming and sitting at your feet and fellowshipping with other believers and fellowshipping with you. So Lord, we thank you for this time. We pray that you give us a clear understanding of this word obedience and that we would apply it to our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God's word places a huge emphasis on obedience, a huge emphasis. In fact, it's really our only responsibility. When you think about it, when you look at God's word, when you search all of scriptures, our main and only responsibility is obedience. You can wrap every single precept in God's word into that word, obedience. Am I going to obey God's word or am I not going to? Because of this, it's important for us to have a clear understanding of what obedience is and what it's to look like. I think sometimes we have a false understanding of what obedience may look like in our lives, how we go about it. The first thing I really wanted to look at was obedience does not earn salvation. Obedience does not earn salvation. Where do we see this? We see in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's not obedience that earns salvation, it's a gift. To help us answer God's expectation, we need to clearly kind of understand what this gracious gift was, how gracious of a gift it was, that we were never right before God, that he didn't pick us in this room because we were a little bit better than the rest of society. He didn't pick us in this room because we had it together. We cleaned ourselves up before. It was just the fact that he chose us and he gave us the gift of his son. It's just by sheer grace. It was a gift. You know, we're coming into that gifting season and we have certain gifts that we're hoping to get, hoping to receive. Maybe you're wanting your wife to give you, you know, new pair of shoes or something. I don't know. Or maybe the wife is like, man, maybe he'll actually get me something good this year because us husbands struggle with that. You know, it's like she's love believes the best. She's believing and hoping that you're actually going to pull through this year after 25 years. But maybe you will. But the understanding is it was a gift. It was a precious gift. It was the gift of God's Son. It was gracious. It's not our obedience that earns us salvation. But obedience is my response to salvation. Or it's my response to God's grace as we looked at earlier. So if obedience is an expectation of God, and if obedience is my response to his grace, how do we go about it? How do I fulfill God's call? What should it look like in my life? I want to give you three things in how obedience plays out in our lives. Kind of three precepts of obedience, if you would. Number one, we're going to look at how obedience is surrender. Obedience is surrender. Number two, we're going to look at how obedience is love. Obedience is love. And number three, we're going to look at how obedience is faith. Or obedience, once again, is faith. So that first one, obedience is surrender. The text we get this from is Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 25. It says this, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.'" And we've all entered into that faith in Jesus Christ. We agree with that. We've even said it like this. We've surrendered our lives to Christ. That is, we've died to ourselves. We've died to our will. We've said it's no longer about my will. It's about the Lord's will. It's about God's will. We've surrendered that life. It's even seen here in the text where it says we denied ourselves. We need to deny ourselves and take up our cross. Even we need to choose to lose our own lives in order to gain it. It's something that's reverse thinking. It's like, how do I lose my life to gain it? Well, it's I die to that old man. There was an old man, but now there's a new man that God's given us. And we see that in the text that we're going to look at, Ephesians chapter 4, 17 through 24. Let's read it. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." You see, before Christ, we lived as the old man. We were the old man or the old woman. It was even seen in the text as we were slaves to it. It's the idea of whatever it wanted, we satisfied it. You know, if I wanted to go out and drink, I drank. If I was anxious and needed a drink, I drank. If I wanted to go and do some other sort of sin, whatever my flesh or the old man wanted, that's what I did. That's what I was a slave to. We partied, we got drunk, we fornicated, sin upon sin. But when Christ came, by his grace, he saved us. He redeemed us. There's a new man. God did a work in us. He gave us that new man. He gave us that new spirit that we can walk in it, that we cannot have to be slaves to that old man anymore. It's that idea of he transformed us into the new man. Even seen in this way, we crucified the old man. We crucified that old man with Christ. He died with Christ. So that way we could also rise with Christ. It's the idea of we surrendered just like to obey, surrender the will of our old life to Christ. We give up those past things. It's no longer about us. It's no longer about what I want. It's no longer about the partying, or it's no longer about what I think my life is about. It's total devotion to the Lord. It's total surrendering to Him. Whatever You would have me do, Lord, I will do. No longer my interests, no longer my motives. Our life is an act of surrender to Him, or an act of obedience. We obey by surrendering. So our obedience is our response to His grace. It's that response of surrendering to Him. We couldn't earn it. We couldn't do it ourselves. We couldn't make ourselves saved. But our obedience is that response to what He's done upon the cross for us. And it's a great response. It's a response that pleases the Lord, as we're going to see here in a few minutes. So that's number one. Number two, obedience is love. Obedience is love. We actually have three verses that really hit this home, and I'll read them. It says Deuteronomy 11, verse 1. It says, "Therefore you shall love the Lord your God and keep His charge, His statutes, His judgments, and His commandments always." You see how the love and keeping His commandments go hand in hand. John chapter 14, verse 15. This was Jesus saying these things. He said, "If you love Me, keep My commandments." That's when we have memorized even. And then 2 John 6 says this: "This is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it." So as we've surrendered to the Lord, we've done that. We've died to our old self. Now our obedience is proven in love. Our obedience is proven in love. So we've had that idea of, I've raised the white flag to my old life. Now my obedience is proven by our love, or by our devotion. It's the idea of when we obey the Lord, or when we keep His commandments, when we obey Him in any way, it's a good thing. It pleases Him. It shows that we do love Him. It shows that we have surrendered. It's kind of the proof of that surrendering. It's, have you really surrendered to the Lord if you're not keeping His commands? That's kind of the implication of the text here. That what's implied is, if you have surrendered, then you should be obeying. If you're not obeying, have you truly surrendered? That's really where it's at. If you're not seeking God's word, if you're not in God's word diligently and following the precepts you see, you know, even when you come to a teaching and you hear, "Do not lie, do not do these certain things" from the Bible, if you don't apply them, the idea is, have you surrendered your life to Christ? Have you died to the old self? That's what this text is saying. If you love Me, you'll keep My commands. It's the idea of, it's going to be proven through that devotion to the Lord. Your obedience is proof of that salvation that's in you. It's proof of the old man, or the new man, being in you, created in you. That's the excitement that's there. It's even seen in this. I thought back to David and Bathsheba. And when you look at David and Bathsheba's story, David was in a great place. David, finally, after being on the run all these years and Saul persecuting him, and he had that promise that the Lord had given him, that through Samuel the prophet, of, "You will be king. You're going to be the Lord's king. I've chosen you to be king." But he waited and he waited. And not only did he wait, he was in persecution. He was hiding out in caves in the wilderness, thinking he's going to lose his life. But he has this promise that the Lord's given him. And so finally that promise is fulfilled. And he comes and he takes the throne. Saul has died and he takes the throne. And even when he took the throne, it was only over one tribe. But he still had that promise, and he still waited, and he still was faithful to the Lord, still obedient. Then something happened. He finally became king and ruler over all of Israel. But then something happened. Bathsheba came. And though he was obedient, though he's in this great time where God's promise was fulfilled in his life, he fell. And when God had to judge him for what he had done, when he finally came to a place of repenting and God spoke to him, what was interesting was what God said to him. He says, "You hated My commandments. You hated My commandments." And the two things that he really broke was, he committed adultery and he committed murder. He committed adultery with Bathsheba and he murdered her husband to try to cover it up. And so God said, "I'm judging you because you hated My commandments." And that seems harsh. It's like, how can you say that you hated My commandments? Well, you broke them. If you break My commandments, you hate them. And then he goes on further to say this: because you hated My commandments, because you broke them, you hated Me. And that's something that even it brings us into this room. It's like, man, that is heavy. That if I disobey the Lord, it's proof that I hate Him. and God judged David for that, and things were never the same. He suffered consequences the rest of his life. We're actually teaching through it in high school right now, how he's in the midst of these great consequences. He loses the throne to his son. His family's out of whack for the rest of his life. Bad things happen. But it's that love, it's that obedience in love, keeping those commandments that shows proof that I've surrendered to the Lord. It's not only proof to us, but it's proof to others. It's like, why do you go, and it becomes a great witness, why do you not go with us to the bar? Why do you not do these certain things that we want to do? Why do you not curse? Why do you, you know, when you get those questions, it's because you're obeying God's word. And it's not to glorify yourself. It's not to be like, yeah, I've got it together. It's no, this is my response to what God's done in me. He's created this new man, and I'm going to walk as the new man. I'm not going to walk as the old man. So that's what obedience does in our lives. Many times it's even this. We think God desires sacrifice. But 1 Samuel chapter 15, 22 says this, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. We may even talk about our sacrifice, and we talk about it in this way. I even kind of prayed through it. I said, man, thank you for sacrificing your time to come out. God doesn't care that you sacrificed your time. I mean, that sounds harsh. It's like, Daniel, how could you say that? I did all this for the Lord. I came here to be with the Lord tonight. How can you say he doesn't want my sacrifice? I could be at home watching the Thursday night football game right now. I sacrificed something. To obey is better than sacrifice. It's even seen this way. I sacrificed for a homeless man yesterday. I gave him some money. I sacrificed a lot. I don't make a whole lot, but I sacrificed. To obey is better than sacrifice. God doesn't want or need our sacrifice. He desires our devotional, loving obedience. And it's seen in this way. You may have sacrificed. I'm not going to, you know, limit or say you didn't sacrifice something to be here. But that's not necessarily what God requires or wants. What he requires or wants is, I told you to come to this Bible study. Show up. That's it. There's no sacrifice there. It's I called you to. I told you to. Obey. That's what he wants. He wants that devotional, loving obedience. He wants to be the ruler over your life. He wants to be the master over your life of, you know what? God said it, I'll do it. That's all that matters. It's done. It's not even worth questioning. I don't need to go, Lord, are you sure? It's Lord, I'll do it. You know, it's that idea of delayed obedience is disobedience. We tell our kids that all the time. I don't have kids, but I will tell them that. Anyway. It's even seen in this way. If you love something, you'll find yourself aiming to satisfy that. It's kind of seen in the husband-wife attribute. Hopefully it's seen in that way. But when you think back to when you were dating, at the very least when you were dating, you know, the guy did certain things to please the girl because he wanted to show, like, man, I love you. And sometimes we get lost in marriage and stuff and we forget to do it. So please forgive us and pray for us. But think back to that dating time. He wanted to please you. He loved you. He was proving that love. He was trying to satisfy that love that he had for you. That's why it's said that way. If you love something, you'll find yourself aiming to satisfy that which you love. I remember even when I was dating my wife, and we've only been married 2.5 years, but I did more for her back then than I do now sometimes. I'm like, what was I thinking? You know, writing her notes, getting her good gifts for no reason, just certain things that I was, no matter what, because I loved her, because I had that desire for her, I was aiming to satisfy it. It's seen in this way in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. It says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. God wants to be the treasure of our life. And we show that through obedience. But many times our treasure's kind of off. Maybe it's in our spouse. Maybe that's what we're living for. Maybe that's the only person we're aiming to please. Maybe it's in a girlfriend or a boyfriend if you're younger in here, or even if you're older and you're dating. Good for you. Maybe it's in sports. Maybe it's in your work. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And God, in your obedience to him, you love him. You can prove that he's your treasure by obeying his commandments, no matter what. He comes first. The Bible comes first. What he says goes. That's how you can show he's the treasure of our life. Our obedience shows God that he is our treasure. It's an idea of aiming to please him, aiming to satisfy him. It's even an expression of our love and devotion when we obey his commandments. Our obedience communicates and proves that God is our master. Proves that. It proves, like I've said this whole time, that it proves that we've surrendered our life to him. We've laid it down. We've taken up our cross. So obedience is a surrender of our will, surrender of our will. I've died to the old man. Now I'm living in the new man. It's proven in our love and devotion, proven that we keep it, that we love him and are devoted to him. And now number three, it's tested in our faith, or obedience is faith. We see that in Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. It says this, "Here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus." It takes faith to obey God, whom you can't see. We can't see God. We can't talk to him personally. We do have a relationship with him, and I believe God speaks to us, and I believe we speak to him, but God can't physically appear right here in front of me. I can't see him in the physical realm. It doesn't work that way. So it takes faith to obey a God whom we can't see. Faith. We need to have faith. It takes faith to apply his precepts or his word. As we've surrendered our wills, as we've loved him and tried aimfully to keep his commandments, it's our faith in who he is and what he's done that kind of tests where we're at in our obedience. It's kind of the idea of when things get bad, when things aren't going well, it's like, man, I've been reading my Bible, I've been showing up to Bible study, I've been doing what God's word says for me to do, but things are still shaky. Things are still bad. We have a president we don't like. You know, it's we say those things. It's like when things get rough, you've been applying, you have surrendered, you've died to your old self. But when things get rough, you need to have that faith. Your obedience is rooted in your faith, and it's tested in your faith. Who he is and what he's done. It's kind of the idea of this. It kind of goes to see how far our obedience and our allegiance will go. How far will it go? We need to have faith in his goodness, faith in his love for us, faith that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And these are actually precepts out of God's word, too. And so you're believing those things, and it increases your faith, and it causes you to do things God's way. It's kind of like this. My marriage is failing, and it's not doing well. But God's word says to love and to serve my wife. She's bitter towards me. She's not happy with me. Things are not going well. She doesn't receive what I do well. I get her a gift. She shoves it in my face because she's bitter at me because I messed up in the past. I'm applying God's word, but it's not working. It's your faith in God that'll keep you through that. It's your faith in God that God said it. God is over it. God loves me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. It's those promises of God that'll get us through that time. I'm going to apply this no matter what. And you even do this, your allegiance and your obedience go so far that if your marriage is not restored, you still trust in God. Because you're not obeying and having a faith in God because he's going to fix your marriage. You're obeying and having a faith in God because you know he's God. Amen. So you have to be careful with that, because it's like, okay, my marriage wasn't reestablished, so it definitely didn't work, so now my faith is gone. It's like, no, that's not what your faith was in. But you do apply God's word to get you through that time, to really have your faith rooted in him is what's going to get you through that time, to keep you obeying. There was a story even that I think demonstrates this well. Archibald Rutledge wrote one day in his journal about a man who he had seen in the forest. And he saw this man in the forest, and he talked to the man, and the man told him the story, and he just seemed down, the man did. And the man told him, yeah, my dog died. He caught on fire and died. And it was a sad thing. And he started talking to the man more, and he's like, well, what happened? And he goes, well, I go to work with my dog because I'm a forest ranger and I work in the forest. And so I'm able to bring my dog with me. And as he would bring his dog with him to work, sometimes he would have his dog stay. He was a very good, diligent dog, and he'd tell his dog, stay. And the dog would stay and guard his lunch. You know, he'd leave his lunch there in the forest because it was cold, and he could leave it there, and the dog would stay. Well, one day, the forest caught on fire. And as the forest got closer and closer to the dog stayed. The dog stayed put. And the fire got closer and closer. And sure enough, even when the flames engulfed him, he stayed. Because his master told him to stay. And that's where we need to be with God as our master. It's though the flames come towards me, though they're rushing in, though to me this makes no sense, I will obey, because God is my master. And you know this, we won't end up like the dog burnt. there's a promise there. There's a promise. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. God loves us. He is love. So we have that promise that when we obey, we're not going to end up like that. And even though if we obey to the point of death And that happens in our today. That happens in other societies, other cultures, other countries, that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're put to death for your faith. How far you're willing to obey. Because it's not the fact that I have life. It's the fact that I'm going to obey. And if God wills for me to die a martyr, I will obey. I will not surrender that. We still obey no matter what. If your faith is not rooted in who He is, you cannot have obedience. You can't do it because you're going to do it in your own power. You're going to do it in your own strength. And though you may have a season of good obedience, a season of good works, a season of what God wants you to do, because your faith is not rooted and established in Him, you will not have obedience for very long. Because our strength is weak, but God's Spirit is strong. It's even when trials come, if it's not grounded in that faith, the trial will take you away from God. The trial will be what you were living for. The trial will test you enough, and it's like you weren't obedient through the trial. So those trials, the way we fight them is through that faith. I wanted to give you three things as we kind of close, and I'm actually going to end, I think, a little early, which I've never done. Praise the Lord. I want to give you three quick things of how we kind of apply these things, of how it works out in our lives. Three things that you can just go, okay, if I do these three things, I actually got something out of Daniel's teaching, which is good. Praise the Lord. Number one, obey all, emphasis on all, of God's word. Non-selective. It's the things that I don't like to obey. It's the things that I struggle with. It's the things that are debatable, you know, in my opinion. I try to get out of. Obey all of God's word, no matter what. There's no questions ever. It's not an idea, and it's not the painting the picture of I need to be legalistic, but it's painting the picture of I'm going to do everything I can to please God because He's my master. Just like we should be doing everything we can to please our spouse because they're our spouse. But even more so, our master, we obey to please Him, to honor Him, to show Him, hey, I have surrendered to You. I have laid down my life to You. Number two, I would say this, obey specific calling and gifting He has given you. Specific calling and gifting. I believe this. When you come to a Bible study, or when you kind of have that desire to come to a Bible study, or you're sitting in the pew, and one of the guys, Chris or Christopher, comes out and does announcements, hey, we're going to have a Bible study in the next month, and it's going to be in Philippians, or it's going to be Foundations, or whatever the case may be. And you go, you kind of have this weird little, man, that would be cool. I think we can do that. That's God calling you. And you need to be obedient to that call that He's calling you to. Even God's called you to your workplaces. You need to work hard in the workplace. You need to be diligent in the workplace. You need to not clock in and just do the least. You need to clock in and do the most because God's called you there. Even this, I'll take it a step further. God's called you to your specific workplace because He's put specific people around you that you need to minister and witness to. Answer that call. Be obedient to that call. That was one of the major things Jesus did when He left. The last time He was on earth, He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples of all nations. Answer that call upon our lives. We think, well, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not Greg Laurie. I'm not Billy Graham. You're the evangelist of your workplace. You're the evangelist of your home. You're the evangelist of Winco. Wherever you go, you're the evangelist of it. God's equipped you. God will equip you if you're obedient to that call. Even this, the gifting. I talk about gifting. The way you can kind of find your gifting is you read Scripture. You kind of go, man, I just have a gifting to just show up and serve or just to love. You know, I have a gifting to sometimes, maybe it's teaching. Maybe you like, man, I really want to teach. And you get with a pastor or something, teach me how to teach. I have a desire to. And they see that you have a gift. Or I want to go sing on the worship team. Whatever the case may be, God will reveal to you by the power of His Spirit what the gifting is. So you need to find that. You need to be obedient to that gifting. He didn't put that gifting in there for you. And He definitely didn't put that gifting in there for you to hide it away. He put that gifting in you to be used by Him. In fact, I believe He put that gifting in you when you got that new man. He implanted it in you. He gave it to you. So you need to go and use it. Be obedient to that. Number three, obey even in the bad times. And we've kind of looked at that. No matter what may happen, if God told me to stay and the fire's all around me and the flames and it looks like I'm going to die, I'm going to stay. But we have to be careful because you want to make sure that God told you to stay. You don't want to be ignorant. It sounds funny, but I think sometimes we are. Sometimes we go, Nope. And we're just, instead of being obedient, because we want to be obedient, sometimes I think we're just stubborn. You know, like, no, God told me to. It's like, I don't know. I'd question that. you know, seek counsel around you. Go to a pastor if you need to. Go to one of the group leaders or go to someone in your group and say, hey, I'm thinking God's calling me to this. Do you think so? I mean, his word says this and this, and maybe you're missing something, and they can point you back to another precept of his word. It's like, no, I think you're not supposed to do that, or you are supposed to do this. So seek accountability. Don't be stubborn. Be obedient. There's a big difference there. And we'll close with this. Do you realize, this is the awesomeness of this. Do you realize that Jesus was obedient? Jesus Christ was obedient to the Father, to his Master. Jesus, who is the same level as God, still calls him Master because he's the Father. Still, because of the Father's position of Father, he submits to him. He's obedient to him. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. It says, and going a little farther, he fell on his face, this is speaking of Jesus, and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus gave us the perfect example of obedience. The perfect example. Of course he did, because he's Jesus. But he still did, and we can take from that. He surrendered his will to the Father. Look what he did. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will. That's what we say. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. It's even this. It's proven in his love for the Father and his love for us. The Bible even speaks of, for the joy that was set before him, we are the joy because he loved us. The obedience was proven in his love for the Father, love for the position of the Father. It was proven he was obedient in that love. And then this, his faith was tested, but he remained obedient all the way to the point of death. He went and he said, I will lay down my life because I believe that the Father is good. I know that the Father is good. I know that God has a plan through this. So he was obedient, and he shows us that great example of how to be obedient. Obedient to the point of death. How far are we able to go to obey God? How far are we willing to go to obey God? That's really the question that's asked tonight. I believe we should be in our Bibles enough to know God's word, know what it says, know what to apply. Now, we need to be doers. Just like James said, it's not enough to be hearers, but we need to be doers of God's word. Knowledge puffs up. You can have all the knowledge of God's word in the world, and it can give you a lot of pride. But if you're not applying, that humility is you applying it. That humility is not my will, God's will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you once again. And Lord, we thank you for this short time you've given. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us one more week to kind of fellowship with each other here at church, Lord. And we're thankful for this study, Lord. Lord, some of us were new believers. Some of us were learning things and just eating up your word and eating up these precepts of how to even be obedient to you in our lives, Lord. And some of us may have even been seasoned Christians, Lord, but it was good to just refresh and just look at your word and get back to the foundations of things and kind of remember back and reflect back to what it was like to be a new believer and to kind of re-passion that fire in us, Lord. So I pray that that happened in this study, Lord, that you would cause new believers and seasoned believers to rise up and have a fire and a passion for you, to be obedient to the calling that you've placed upon their lives, to go and preach the gospel, that this group would not end with these, but you would invite and bring many more in because we're obedient to the call to go and preach the gospel to all men. So, Lord, as we just go and are excited to move forward, are excited for our group time even, I pray that you would just allow us to go in your spirit, that you would just guard the rest of our weeks, even this week, Lord, and that you just have your hand upon our lives, that you would just minister to us and through us, that any one of us in this room who are hurting would be able to seek a leader or seek some fellowship in our group times, that we'd be just freeing, that we would be available to each other to just meet our needs tonight. So just use us by the power of your spirit, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.